You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
So I have a rod and a staff. In other words, then my job is to make sure I correct. I need to do it gently, but I need to correct. And I need to comfort as well. So you got to give me space to do that with y'all. I'm the shepherd, under shepherd. I said, I'm the shepherd. So if I'm the shepherd and you're a sheep, I got to keep the wolves out of here. And when I catch one that's in sheep clothing, I got to beat him out. Okay, yeah. So that's what that is. So get over that, Bishop. You, I got to do what I got to do, and you got to give me space to do that.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Church Hurt the Myth. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4.
My point is that we've seen things before. We've gone through things before. I have history. I asked him to tie all of that together when I preach. Not just coming from the text and you don't understand it, but a Bible in a newspaper. So you can see current events and things that have happened with us and related to the scripture. Like many of us, we've been there, done that. The streets are desperate. If you've ever been in the streets, you understand betrayal. You've been in the streets, you understand. And many of us, many of us don't know the 70s streets or the 80s streets. A lot of our young people in here, you weren't in the streets in the 70s and 80s. You don't understand. You were born with technology, born with a remote control in your hands. And what you think is difficult is really not. It's a myth to push you away from God. Many of us walked to school. Walked to school. You don't know what that's like. Mama, you get driven everywhere. If mama don't show, where you at? Walk. When I got a detention at Jackson Middle School, I had to stay over. My mama said, you walking home. I said, well, wait, that's 5 miles. She said, I ain't coming to get you. You gonna make me walk for 5 miles? Car was in the driveway. Oh, y'all, listen, I'm trying to show you something. If you get them when they're young, you get the mind right. My mama said, walk home, son. You want to act up? Then be up. Okay. All right. Couldn't have no attitude, like coming home and don't talk and fold your arm. You mess me up, mama. You can't do that. Next thing you know, something's coming across the counter, man. Bing. Ain't none of that going back and forth like y'all let your kids do, reasoning with them. Young man, 13, 14, you let them go back and forth. No, you don't know desperate. I'm glad I was raised up. As soon as somebody look at you at church wrong, you don't want to go back. What? Glory to God. God never created you to live separately. He always wanted us to be in a clan or in a group, in a tribe, in a family. The enemy comes to destroy it, but you can't. As I was sharing with the early church, 1 Samuel chapter 24, I'll just give you a review. It talks about David saying to his men, that's chapter 24, verses 1 Samuel 24, verses 6 and 7. David having a discussion with his men. He has an opportunity to kill the man that's searching for him or hunting his life. and he refused to do it. And you'll read it here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. And he said to the men, his men, to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. He's acknowledging here that Saul was greater than him in terms of anointing and position. He's my master. Even though he's trying to kill me, he's my boss. Even though he's trying to kill me, he's my leader. But even though he's trying to kill me, he's my master. Now, I'm looking at not necessarily try to make you see people who are above or beneath you, but you want to see his heart. Because the man is trying to kill him, he doesn't allow his heart to diminish. It doesn't matter what Saul is doing. He keeps himself elevated. I'm not going to get it clouded. I'm not going to allow offense to stop me from being who I am. I'm not going to let offense stop me from pursuing God. I'm not going to let it come between me and my God or what God has established in the earth. I'm not going to allow my position of being hurt to pull me away from my destiny. So he calls him master, the Lord anointed, the Lord's anointed. Not only is he my master, but God allowed oil to be poured on him. Even though he's trying to hurt me, I won't get it twisted. I won't affect my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand, he says, against him. I will not even stretch my hand out to hurt him. Look at this. Seeing he is the anointed of the Lord, I'm not going to allow what he's trying to do to me to diminish who I am and the respect I should have for the office that he holds. Look at verse 7. So David restrained his servants. Notice Saul is his master and he's trying to kill him. But it wasn't him that wanted to kill Saul, David's servants. And they used not just his men, but people that would do anything he said. He restrains the ones who would do whatever he said. He has influence over them. He's their master. Yet he restrains himself from hurting his master, even though his master is trying to kill him. Now judge where you are. You got somebody above you or somebody lateral to you that's trying to hurt you. And you got somebody that's close to you that says, I see what they're doing. I'll take them out for you. What do you do with that measure? Do you sit there and say, that's right. All of them going to hell. Bump them all. Or do you say, hold that. We don't need to be doing that right now. I'm not going to allow this situation to pull me out of my strength. And I will not be counted as the one who uncovers or unveils my master. It will not diminish me. This thing is a myth that hurt is so bad that I got to lose who I am. So David restrained his servant. With these words, his servants with these words, and did not allow them to rise against Saul, his enemy. And Saul got up, didn't even know how close he was to death, from the cave and went on his way. God is allowing people that could have been destroyed to get up and don't even let them know how close they were to being killed. And many of us don't know how close we were to being really hurt, but God restrained the enemy from hurting us or our children. Now, the scripture only shows us one time where David came so close to Saul that he could have killed him. But Saul came so close to David that if God didn't hide him, he wouldn't be on the earth. Many times, one offense keeps us from moving forward to God, but we don't know how many times God saved us from foolishness. We let one offense change our whole mindset. But how many times did he cover you? When David said, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's talking a literal event that Saul was so close to him to catch him, he may have stepped over him while he's hidden in rocks and camouflage. That God concealed him to such a way, he's got 300 men he's responsible for, and Saul's army, he has thousands, and they're covering the landscape, and they walk over David while David and his men are hiding in the rock and the stone. That's why he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow. You're not here, we're not here because we didn't do anything wrong or because the enemy doesn't have the ability to take us out. God hid us. Touch your name and say, he's hiding me. Glory to God. The devil wanted to kill me. He gave me space to get myself together. I would have killed myself, but God hid me. And he's still hiding us, even today. He hides our sins. I said he hides our sins. He gives us the privilege of privacy. Nobody should be walking around here with their head lifted high. We all have to stand under the fountain of blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Not carry with me a rod and a staff, so I correct stuff. That's my job. When I see something, I should correct it. And the ministers in our church are instructed that if you see something corporately, even now, you're not to preach and correct the church. That's my job as the senior pastor. You are to encourage, comfort, and exhort. Now, you can exhort people to do what's right, but I'm talking about strong correction. Sit down, shut up, you stop. You know, that's not your job, it's my job. So know your place and stay in your lane. So I have a rod and a staff. In other words, that my job is to make sure I correct. I need to do it gently, but I need to correct. And I need to comfort as well. So you got to give me space to do that with y'all. I'm the shepherd, under shepherd. I said, I'm the shepherd. So if I'm the shepherd and you're a sheep, I got to keep the wolves out of here. And when I catch one that's in sheep clothing, I got to beat him out. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's what that is. So get over that, Bishop. I got to do what I got to do, and you got to give me space to do that. Okay, thank you, Lord. I can change and get softer or whatever, but, you know, you got me. Say, I got you, baby, right? Who came up with that years in the 70s? Sonny and Cher. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. You got me. I love you. You love me. Let us make a family. You got me. You got to deal with what you got. It's cheaper to keep me. We got married. It's cheaper to keep me. Get rid of me. I'm going to clean. You'll be at another church saying, I see Bishop. He never pointed his finger straight. It's always bent. When you connected to a voice, you got to get with it. Amen. Amen. Even if it's difficult times, can the church say amen? Amen? Write it down. If conflict is, when conflict is unavoidable, lines of loyalty must be drawn. When conflict is unavoidable, then lines of loyalty must be drawn. David could not escape the conflict. So what he does is draw a line of loyalty to the master, to the position that the person holds, and he upholds that. Don't get it twisted. Don't reduce authorities when you're offended. Because you offended, you don't care. You know, don't say, for instance, if you're offended with me, you ain't no bishop. Now we got a problem. You got to be able to say, you're still the bishop, and you offended me, but we'll work that out. If you're offended with your parent, you don't say, you ain't my mama. I just own you. You never was there for me. See, you got to draw a line of loyalty and get your head together. See, y'all don't know anything about Shirley Caesar, but she sung a song years ago, and our parents made us listen to it. For 9 months, I carried you, growing inside of me, and didn't charge you rent. No charge. And all these kids, man, got all of this stuff way more than we had. And first thing they want to say, you never did anything for me. That's just foolishness. That's an entitlement mentality. That means you still saying you owe me. No, I gave you life. You 18, you better get yourself together. Everything else is grace. How many years does God give a man? 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. is 20 times 3. So 20 is 60. So 60. Plus 10. If you're over 70, we all say, thank you, Jesus. Right? Because he gives us that. You should at least aim for 70. You see what I'm saying? So this is the same thing you need to see. God promises us some things. Your parent is supposed to make sure you're 18. Anything other than that is grace. If they say, I'm not paying any more bills or whatever, you still can't get mad. Nobody's saying amen, but I'm saying. Honestly, when I get you saved and connect you with Jesus, and I'm helping you to get along, I don't owe you for the rest of my life. You understand that? You got to listen. It's time for you to stand up in your faith. That's where it goes. And you got to let me be the shepherd of the whole congregation. That is, I got to take care of the young ones too. The young lambs. It's always going astray. Jesus is our helper, right? Mother and the father is not supposed to be taking care of 40-year-olds. 40. Get out of my business and don't come in my room. Listen, man. I go in every room in my house. I always give Megan listen, knock, knock. I never walk in her room, but I can go in there. It ain't going to be locked. Right? And nobody has access into my stuff. Nobody. So that's how it works. But I can go in there. I always give respect. Knock, knock, knock. Omar, when he was living with it, knock, knock, knock. And I'm coming in. I'm coming in hot, son. I found you. That's what I would say. He could hear me coming. I found you. I'm letting him know. Whatever's in there, you better get it straight because I'm about to put my hand on the knob. You got a girl up in that boy? I'm telling you how I handle my son. You got a girl in my house? Ain't no y'all just do what you do. See what I'm saying? That's how that worked when I raised him. Now, he may have done stuff when I'm not there. But son, listen. That's how it worked. And I think we need to be more intentional. Mm-hmm. When there's conflict that can't be avoided, we must draw a line of loyalty. So David doesn't understand why his leader is trying to kill him. Or what did he do to deserve that kind of treatment from his leader? He doesn't not have that. He can, why? That's what I hear a lot from. Why? Some whys you'll never hear, you'll never know. Now I'm looking at this text, and once David known he had shown loyalty to his leader, once he knew he had shown loyalty, he was at ease in his own spirit. He's not wishing that the man get killed. Actually, when Saul actually died on the battlefield, Saul literally died on the battlefield. He actually saw that the enemy was surrounding him, and he asked his armor bearer to kill him. He said, I want you to take my life. Don't let me fall in the hands of our enemy. But the armor bearer couldn't. He said, I can't do that. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. That's what the Bible says. Read 1 and 2 Samuel, and it'll give you some mentality about warfare. This is why I can speak really direct so you can understand how God sees warfare. Some of the things that we let get to us, he's saying, listen, it didn't bring you blood. You didn't have to fight in a war. There's no Goliath physically that you dealt with, so handle your emotional Goliath. A young man looked at and saw Saul's helmet or his crown, picked it up, brings it to David. You know how some people, they bring a bone, they'll carry a bone, right? They bring you something telling you about somebody, they'll take something from you and tell them about you. You caught up with what people say? The man comes to David and says, oh my Lord, my Lord, Master, because that's some of the language we get when people like that are referencing us. Oh, you're my leader. You're the one. You help me. Then we open up our heart to that. He thought David was going to give him a pass. I saw your enemy and I killed him. He lied. He thought he would get favor with David. He lied. And that lie took his life. David, instead of David said, oh, you killed my enemy? Good. He said, who put you in charge of life? Who gave you the authority to take the man's life? Why would you lift up your heel against God's anointed? Now, I'm talking about a man that could really be offended now. Really offended, because the man who died tried to kill him many times. And he asked his armor bearer to take the man's life, which means when you lie like that, you're worthy of death. When you move like that in the kingdom, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would all be consumed. You let your anger take over to you like that, you listen. You can't do that. Don't bring no bad report and lies. But offense will make you do it to find favor with others. When you read the text and you see it literally, this is what I do. I descend into the text to see where I stand. Every time I read it, I don't see David as being me. Sometimes you got to trade out and say, am I Saul here? Am I the young servant who's lying? Am I trying to seek favor with the things I say? Now we're beginning to let truth be revealed. Because the word will discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart, not their heart. Touch them and say, what you think about me don't matter. It's none of my business. So we spend a lot of time worrying about what people think, but it's none of my business. It's what do you think? As a man thinketh in his own heart, so is he. Oh, God. They can hate me all day, but as long as I don't hate myself, my master could try to kill me all day, but as long as I make sure I draw a line of loyalty, God will protect me. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. David was being tested by God, trying to see if God would abort his process. enduring hardship. Trying to see if God would abort his process of enduring hardship as a what? Good soldier. Now, see, a lot of people think Christianity is kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, oh Lord, kumbaya, somebody's crying, Lord, kumbaya. That's not Christianity. Christianity is drawing lines of loyalty once truth has been revealed and you stick with it and go through God's process of creating things that you must endure so you can be more like his son. The earth is groaning, awaiting the manifestations of sons. We got a lot of men, a lot of women, but we're a sonship. The way God dials you into sonship is when you handle a small trial that you're facing and you keep the lines of loyalty drawn. You don't let your heart become mush and you don't allow yourself to be drawn away with your own enticements. And you keep your head focused on the Lord and you keep praying and showing love to everybody. Trust only a few, but do harm to none. And God will work with you when you do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've seen people in the mall, and I know they were talking about me. I still hug them. What's up? How's your mother doing? How's your family doing? Blah, blah, blah. Still do it, right? And when they return to the church, I welcome them back. I welcome them back. This is me, though. Okay? If you bite me, right? Once, that's on you. But if you bite me twice, it's on me, and I don't get bitten twice. That's how it moves. I'm close enough to you that if you fall, I'll catch you. But I'm far enough away that if you swung on me, you will not hit me in the jaw. And this is where you need to balance things out.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Church Hurt the Myth, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthreveal.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Greetings, this is Lucian Gandolfo, Senior Pastor of the Beacon Baptist Church in Melbourne, Florida. We are hosting a 15-week series on effectual prayer. It will be on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. from November 5th through February 25th. The Bible tells us in James 5:16 that effectual, fervent prayers avail much. Prayer is the lifeblood of faith, yet it is what we believers often neglect and find most difficult to be effective in. Over these 15 Wednesdays, we'll examine from God's Word how you and I can indeed pray effective prayers that avail much. Prayer changes things, and it starts with us. In these challenging times, we urge you to come, learn, and pray with us as we put into practice what we've studied. Then just watch and see what God does. The Beacon Baptist Church is located at 3185 Aurora Road in Melbourne. Our website is beaconbaptistfamily.com.